Let me ask you a warm-up question, guys. This is our healing service, so it's a very participatory service. Lovely to have you here. I'm just going to talk for a few minutes, and then, maybe give a little bit of direction as the Lord leads me and leads our team, and then we're just going to try and heal those of you who came this morning with a need for healing, some sort of sickness, maybe an injury in your body, something like that. We do these services from time to time. Because the healing ministry was a really big deal for Jesus and his team. And we get a ton of great stories this way. It's a great way to change a life really quickly. So that's nice as well. And if you've been attending the church the last few weeks, you've heard some great healing testimonies. It seems like the Lord is really stirring us up in healing. We've had a couple cancer healings and really great allergy healing of some severe anaphylactic. Just all sorts of great stories. And so we anticipate a lot happening today. It's in the DNA of our church, as it has been in the DNA of the Christian capital C church for 2,000 years. Ebbs and flows, but it's always been part of what believers do in order to bless the world and to bless one another. So let me ask you a question. And if you're a Blue Water veteran, if you've been around the church for a while, you should probably have an answer for this. So get your brain juices flowing. When we want to see a healing miracle, what do we do? What do we do? There's probably a few different ways to answer that. I'm going to give you a few seconds to think about it. We want to see a healing miracle. What do? Butler?
We find a sick person and we heal them.
We find a sick person and heal them. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Identify sick person. Execute a miracle. And if you know Butler, that's like pretty much how he does it. See any good healings this week?
I'm about to.
Yeah. He's had some good healing stories in recent weeks. All right, what else? Who else has an answer?
Lay on
hands. All right, so this is interesting. We see this a lot in the Gospels or in the Book of Acts. So Christians would lay their hands on somebody and sort of trigger a miracle that way. You know, the power to do miracles flows from person to person in the kingdom of heaven on earth, just like the truth of the gospel flows from person to person, just like love flows from person to person. So, yeah, that's a model, the laying on of hands. What else?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Increase faith and try.
Seems like faith has a role to play. Jesus says, if you just have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. When the disciples occasionally failed to heal somebody, they tried and failed, Jesus would say, you didn't have enough faith this time. Go get your faith on, and let's try again. And at Blue Water, our saying is, faith means trying. So Amy was like, you try. That's what faith is. That's good. There was another hand. Parkson.
Ask for the power of the Holy Spirit.
Ask for the power of the Holy Spirit as per the Holy Spirit 101 retreat that we're going to do here at the church. Yeah, encounter God in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in real time in history with us today. And it's a very empowering presence when he indwells you. Our promise in the Book of Acts is when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he will give us power to be witnesses, clothed with power from on high, the very power that raised Christ from the dead. Paul will describe it later. So partner with the Holy Spirit. That's an important answer. Saran, this is going to be the best one, so this will be the last one.
I didn't want to ask that person, do you want to get healed or not?
Ask the person, do you want to be healed or not? Interesting. Jesus sometimes does that, which kind of points to a principle in healing, a healing ministry, in that it's not just something that falls from heaven. Like, you want to ask people to participate in the moment, because it's never just the healing miracle. It's about what's happening in the people and what they're bringing to the table. God partners with us to get things done. The reason I like questions like that, well, you want to see a miracle, what do you do about it, is because of that. It's because God partners with us to get things done in the world, doesn't he? I think this is a terrible, terrible business model, because God could do everything better than we could. But he doesn't evangelize the earth, does he? He sends us to evangelize the earth. He's kind of bringing us into the family business. And why does he do that? Why doesn't he just like appear in the sky and say, yo, I'm God, deal with it, let's get it done? Why does he use us to get his purposes and ministries done in the world? And I think it's because there's something about that that is redemptive for us, right? It develops us into the actual individuals that we are supposed to be, that God created us to be. We've been studying this in our ongoing sermon series on the book of Exodus. You know, it takes a lot to turn a human being into a free human being, spiritually mature. So there's something about the exercise of ministry and participation in holy moments that helps to change us holistically into who we should be. So God partners with us to develop us, to grow us. On the one hand, miracles are free. We ask God to give them. Any supernatural miracle that happens today is based on God's power, primarily. On the other hand, he has structured things in such a way that we get to participate, which is why we do healing ministry, one to another. There's a role of faith, as Amy was saying. He wants us to bring faith to the table. Jesus could do no miracles in his hometown, we're told in Mark chapter 6, and he was astonished at their lack of faith. Jesus' homies did not respect him because they saw him when he was a snotty-nosed kid, presumably. And they were like, well, this guy ain't so special. Who does he think he is? They got really offended at him. They didn't bring any faith to the moment. And even Jesus had incredible power, couldn't do much in his hometown. So he was always encouraging people to have great faith. And when he healed people in the Gospels, 9 times he would say, your faith made you well. That's what made this possible. God is a constant. Our faith isn't. So when we come together for healing services like this, I'm always asking people, well, bring your faith game. You know, come with some attitude. Don't drag in here. Because the faith to do miracles today is my faith plus all of your faiths added together, right? So you come with a little bit of faith, a little bit of attitude, a little bit of swagger this morning. Yes. Do you trust God this morning? Turn to somebody and say, oh, God bless us. Another thing you hear about in Christian circles is the role of gifts, like these supernatural gifts. God gives gifts to every person. Some people receive the gift of music. You know, I was around some people down there in the congregation during worship. Some people don't have the gift of music, is what I'm saying. You know, you know, we come together, we are stronger when we recognize the particular gifts that are in one another, and a few minutes we'll bring some people up front to minister to you, the sick or injured in attendance, and some of them are quite gifted. They have the healing gift. Some of us just have faith. Some of us actually have a gift of healing. We work together, and we can pull great things off. You don't need a gift of healing to heal somebody. It just helps, that's all. And I think the reason that the Lord gives people different gifts is so that we need each other to get things done. Nobody has the complete toolkit. You know, you have healing, you have prophecy, you have teaching, you have compassion. Somehow when we all come together, we're complete, and therefore we have to get along, which means we have to love each other. Oh, that's where it starts getting difficult. But you see the genius of the Lord in it, right? Even in that, he's developing us. So use your gifts today. If you have the gift of healing, oh, you're going to love this morning. If you have the gift of encouragement, you have the gift of faith, you have the gift of, I don't know, compassion, find a way to use it. But the larger point here is that when you really look at how Jesus does miracles, you also see that he doesn't just work the miracle, he works the people involved, right? He doesn't just do the deed, he gathers people into the deed. And that's always his heart. And I just wanted to read a brief piece of scripture from John 9. Before we get started, a little scripture from the morning. This is a segment of a longer story. The entirety of the chapter of John 9 is about the healing of a blind guy. And Jesus healed a number of blind people in Scripture. This is one of the stories, a fairly provocative one. I'm just going to read the first 12 verses, make a few comments, and then we're going to jump into healing ministry. It goes like this. You can follow along on the big board or on your personal Bibles. As he went along, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. So this guy had never seen, blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Pause right there. So it begins with a theological question. You see somebody who was born with a congenital defect, and you think, well, if he was born with it, it's not his sin that caused it. It's not as if God's punishing him for his sin if he was born with it. So maybe it was his parents' sin that caused God to punish him with blindness. But the presumption there is that the sickness is a punishment. Right? And we can feel like that sometimes when we're sick or injured. We can feel like it's our fault. And what we do is we cast about for blame. We cast about for fault. We blame ourselves. We blame somebody else. Or we blame God. But dang it, somebody's got to be blamed. It turns out there's no blame in Jesus' game. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Well, I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world, we're going to shine." That's kind of his pep talk. Having said this, he spit on the ground. That's an interesting segue. He spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. I just think this is a really interesting healing model. Like, one of the things Christians do to heal people is lay on hands and heal them. One of the things Jesus does to heal people is to throw mud in their face. Mud made with spit, no less. So the prayer team this morning will be employing this particular model for all comers. The Keiki ministry have really been helping us out making some mud pies in the back. It's all good, people. I want to be biblical. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. We're skipping a lot of details with that line. Right? He goes and washes mud off his face, turns around and starts walking home, and somehow on the way, right, his sight comes back. Like, we have no record of that, but that would have been a very interesting thing to watch. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging, because he was a professional beggar, asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" And some claim that he was, and others said, "No, he just looks like him." You can imagine how confusing that would be. But he himself insisted, no, I'm the guy, I'm the man. A hilarious afternoon. "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. And he replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes." That's just an interesting conversation. "Well, how did you get your eyes back?" "Mud. Jesus put some mud in my face, put it on my eyes. And he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see you." "Well, where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. The story goes on. Turned out this miracle was done on the Sabbath, which really offended the religious people, because you're just supposed to rest and lay low on the Sabbath, and Jesus violates the Sabbath laws by healing on the Sabbath. I don't know, doesn't seem like a violation, but the Pharisees always thought it was. Plus, he made mud, and there was washing involved, and all of these sorts of things were forbidden on the Sabbath, because you couldn't touch the soil. That was considered work, and all these violations. You know, so it starts with a theological controversy, and it ends with a religious controversy. And in the middle of it, this guy gets his eyes back, and he ends up having to defend the miracle. No, I did. I was healed. I was the blind guy. I was the blind beggar. I don't know where Jesus is. All I know is that I'm better now. Well, okay, it's the Sabbath, but he did it, so maybe God's into it. He ends up having a really tumultuous afternoon because of this miracle. What I love about the story is that you see how Jesus, he didn't just do the miracle, but he worked the guy. You know, he worked the whole situation. He had a signature on it. I mean, it's a very weird healing model, right? Jesus uses all sorts of healing models in the scriptures. Occasionally, he lays on hands. Occasionally, he will, like, hug a leper, and they'll get well. Sometimes, he pulled the sick woman out of bed when she had a fever. Didn't even say anything, just pulled her up, and she got better. He would give commands to crippled people. Stand up, pick up your bed, go home. Tell them to do the impossible, and then he could. Sometimes, he would heal people with a prophetic word. They weren't even there, but Jesus would say, your daughter is healed, or your servant is healed. He would just declare it, and it happened. But this time, hey, Spider-Man. He just wanted me to say hello. But this time, he uses mud, which begs the question, well, why go that route this time? What do you think? Well, I don't know. You have to put yourself in the story. Right? Here was a guy who had been blind since birth and was a professional beggar. Have you ever seen beggars in, like, developing world countries? It's like, to be a professional beggar, you have to adopt the whole identity and posture and attitude of begging. And Jesus was like, well, that attitude of begging is not quite good enough. You know, because begging is not quite faith, is it? It's desperation, but it's not quite faith. And so Jesus is like, well, I got to figure out how to make you participate in this thing. So how about some spit and some mud, you know, contact. Now you got to do something, don't you? I imagine that a lot of people had spit in this man's face throughout his life because he was a professional beggar. So what Jesus does is very provocative for him. It forces him to make a decision. Is this a blessing or is this another curse? And I could talk about that the rest of the morning. It's just so human, this moment. It's so human. But Jesus is, I don't know, he's playing it. His insight into things like this is just astounding. But for whatever reason, the guy's like, well, okay, you know, I guess I'm gonna go wash. And what I think about is his trip there. You know, like maybe your trip to church this morning. Is this gonna work? Is this not gonna work? Is this gonna be humiliating or is this gonna be a blessing? And I think all of that was probably going through this guy's mind as he walked to the pool of Siloam to wash his face. Right? You see what's going on here. It's such a human story, you know, and we identify with it as human beings. He gets there and he washes, and at some point in the interaction, I think he probably says something like, well, apparently I'm doing it. Apparently I'm deciding that this is a blessing and not a curse. Apparently I'm going to act as if I'm going to get healed. Apparently I believe I'm going to get healed then. Dang it, this could work. All right, I'm just going to do this as if it's going to work. This is working. And you see the whole evolution in the story. It's implicit, but you can kind of see it, yeah? And Jesus sort of managing him right into his miracle. And now he's just not some guy getting a miracle drop from heaven. He himself is a miracle participant. He gets to partner with God in the working of this thing, which to me seems like, well, it's very interesting, but it's also sort of a privilege, right? You just see the heart of God in it. It's not enough for me just to, like, drop something on you. Anyway, he washes and then decides he's going to go home, and some place between the washing and the going home, he starts to recover his sight. Remember, he'd never had it, so I say recover inexactly, but, like, he starts to see for the first time, and I don't know, by the time he gets home, he's a different guy, and everybody's like, I do not believe it. And now he's having faith for his neighbors. So the transformation is stunning at this point, you know. He starts sharing a testimony. He'd gone from, like, blind beggar to miracle worker to testifier in the course of 90 minutes or something like that. You know, it's just astonishing. And then at the end of the chapter, he's arguing with the religious authorities of his village. You mean, like, yeah, well, maybe he didn't follow your theology of the Sabbath, but I'm healed, so what are you going to do about that? At the very end, he bumps into Jesus again, but he doesn't know who Jesus is because, again, he's never seen him. He's never seen him. And then Jesus says, yeah, I'm him. And the guy's like, you're an interesting fellow. I'm summarizing. Anyway, so the way that Jesus did it didn't just do the healing. It empowered a beggar to become an adventurer. And it clarifies God's heart by kind of telling us that, you know, Jesus just wants to do good. He cares less about the models and the rules and the techniques and things like that. He's willing to adjust for you, isn't he? He's willing to adjust for you, wherever you're at, and to figure out something that's really going to work for you and be good for you. And by the time it's done, you're not just going to be healed, but you're going to be a partner with God and a witness. And I know we can all relate to this. I'd summarize and say this to you today by way of invitation. If you want a healing, it's not about the model, right? It's about the power. You know, you just have to seek after the power of God this morning. And the path to power is not perfection, is it? Clearly not. It's dirty and spitty and irreligious and uncertain and accusatory. It could be all of those things. It could involve you deciding whether you're being humiliated or honored, whether, you know, this thing that you're doing is embarrassing or magnificent. We're all humans here. But somewhere in the midst of that, you just, I want to see. I want a healing. That sermon is either more or less than you wanted this morning. You came for healing. But I thought I'd share it because healings are never just about God's power. They're also about God's heart. They're never just about your physical body. But they're also about who you are as a person, you know. And it's our honor to try and honor you this morning. So let me ask, how many came this morning with some sort of sickness or physical injury that you'd like to see healed? Just sort of raise your hand for a second and leave them up there so I can get a feel for the room. Okay. All over the place. All right, leave your hands up for just a second. Thanks. All right. All right, so that's a fair number. Let's do the group first, and then we'll wheedle it down. And then in a second, I'll call up the ministry team. And we have people from our normal prayer line. And then joining us on the prayer line today are folks from our Blue Water Leaders Academy, young adults who have been giving over a big portion of their life to learning how to minister and lead. And they've been doing a lot of power ministry and bring a lot of healing stories into the day. But let's say if you are sick or injured in a way which, if it were immediately healed, you could immediately tell, could you raise your hand? So like you could feel it go away. So it's not like high blood pressure or something like that. You need a cuff, but it's like, oh, the pain stopped, that sort of thing. Could you raise your hand, assuming that it's not your arm that's the problem? Raise it up so I can see it, guys. All right. So we'll do these people first, and then we'd be able to tell if it works. And then we kind of winnow down the group and then invite other folks to receive more concentrated healing. So you people who just raised your hand, would you be kind enough to stand for me? Assuming you can stand, and if you can't, just raise your hand and wiggle it so that people can see you. All right, we're going to pray for you. Those of you who are around them, you Blue Water regulars, you're the ministry team, so you can extend a hand of blessing. Blah people, Leaders Academy people, spread out, ministry team people, just kind of spread out, make sure everybody has coverage. Here's how we're going to play it. I'm just going to pray for the presence of the Spirit to be strong in this place. And I want you to give the people who are ministering to you, around you, give them like a one-sentence medical history. You don't need the whole long. Just tell them what's wrong. You know, my leg hurts. I have a digestive issue or whatever. Just really quickly so they know. Real quickly. Unless you can't speak, this should be easy. All right. Now we're going to begin. And we're going to partner with God, right? We're not going to ask God to do the miracle. We're going to do the miracle in Jesus' name. That's the idea anyway. So I want to pray, and then those around are just going to release the healing miracle. Shouldn't take too long. Father God, we pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit. I pray here this morning at Blue Water Mission that you would be present to heal many. It says in Luke 5, the Spirit of the Lord was present to heal many, to heal everyone who seeks. Holy Spirit, be strong. In the name of Jesus, brothers and sisters, just begin to receive that healing power in your bodies right now. In the name of Jesus, shoulders are loosening. In the name of Jesus, you're feeling it in your feet, your ankles. In the name of Christ, some of you are feeling a flush, sort of almost a fever, but it's a good one, trust me. In the name of Jesus, the presence of God breathes life. All right, people, you know what's wrong. Go ahead and heal them. Go. Put your faith on, please. Just a tiny bit of swagger is good. Get her done. God partners with you. We are the people of the Lord. Little tip, prayer ministers. Open your eyes. Look at them. See what's going on. Yeah. Speak to the condition. Tell it to go. More, Lord. Just be patient for just a second. More, Lord. Thank you. Loosen up. Loosen up. Loosen up. Loosen up. All right. Check. Ask him if it worked. This is supposed to be something that you could immediately tell. So go ahead and do a check. Do a quick check. Some deep knee squats there. That's cool. All right. If they are not completely healed right now, do it again. As my wife and I say, healing is like the shampoo bottle says, lather, rinse, repeat. So if they're not totally healed, do it again. Even Jesus had to take a couple of whacks sometimes. And then I want to check in. So it's like, or if it's partially healed, just say, all right, now be healed all the way. Go for it. Guys are doing great. Guys are doing great. Who else got some healing there? Now you just have your focus for a second. Who else? Yeah, what happened here, Holly? I started praying for you. You felt really sweaty, and now you can talk. You were, I assume you had some sort of virus that had, you had a bad throat thing. That's why you're wearing a mask. But you came, and now you can talk without coughing. So it seems like the fever broke. Jesus' very first miracle in the Gospels was healing a fever. So that's good. I'm sorry, there were more hands. Who else? Yeah, back here. There you are. What happened? You had inflammation in the arm, and the inflammation went away? Yeah. Cool. All right, that's good. These are just things we can immediately tell. And what happened here? Something with your wrist, I think. You were wearing a brace, yeah? It's 98% better. What's wrong with you guys? Get that last 2%. Come on, people. That's good. All right, so that was just an injury that got better. One more quick one. We'll get back to it here in a second. But it's just nice to know what happens in like four. I'm sorry. Oh, Courtney. You have a torn meniscus. You think it's not 100% healed, but it's better. How do you test it? Oh, it's still tender when you get on your knees. Ah, okay. Well, we have a goal. But that's good. Torn meniscuses, is that how you say it? Are painful. I've had them. All right, look. Let's give this like 3 more minutes. If you're not totally healed, go back at it. Like I say, even Jesus had to take multiple whacks at miracles sometimes. And what we're doing, right, is we're working it. Yeah? We're just working it. There's a divine aspect to this, and then there's a human aspect to it. And we're just working it with the Lord. So go back to work it, reapply, lay on hands if you want to, just speak to the condition if you have to, take another whack at it, and I bet you we see some progress. In the name of Jesus, be healed all the way. Be free in your body in Christ's name. Be free in your body in Christ's name. Healing, open up. Open up in Jesus' name. More, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Be strong here, Holy Spirit. We pray for grace, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Increase, Lord. Good job. Drive it home. All right, check. Check on it. See how it went. Check on it. Test it out, whatever it is. Test it out. Test it out. Do that later. All right, check it out. Just wave at me really quick. Did anybody receive healing that time? Or a more complete healing that time? How we doing? Shh. Can't talk to you right now, buddy. Yeah? What happened back there? Susie? Oh, ouch, she had a torn hip labrum. So it felt a shift in it, the pain shifted. You could not stand without pain when you showed up? Oh, yeah, those are really painful. Well, that's great, God bless you. All right, guys, could you just have a seat for a second? We'll go to phase 2. Just give a pause for a second if you would, guys. All right, now can I have the prayer ministry people come up front, please? The power ministry people? So that was a way of just getting some quick healings going and reducing the number of people who need the touch of power this morning. So now what I'd like to do, if you've come for healing. Hey, guys, can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention? We are trying to work together. Thanks. What I'd like to do is invite you to come up if you need healing and get some direct ministry from these guys, some of whom are quite gifted at it and seen a lot of healings, and they've been praying and prepping all week, and some of them fasting. So what we're going to do is kind of spread out as wide as we can. We don't have a lot of room. We'll kind of spill into the aisles. But just to give you some concerted healing. If you're not already healed by that short 6 or 7 minute healing segment, or if you have something which we would not immediately know if it were healed, right? You haven't received ministry yet, then I'd invite you please to come up and receive some healing from these guys. They'll probably pray for you two by two or maybe three at a time. Yeah, we're going to have to spread out, guys. Let's, maybe go down the sides and maybe we could crush in some of those chairs, guys. All right, so that's you. You need some healing. This is what we're going to do. We're going to come up. We're going to spend about 10 minutes on it, and then I'll check in at the end and see how it goes. And then it'll be about time to dismiss. Maybe we'll share a couple testimonies of people who have received healing this morning. There are always some good ones. So please come on up if you receive it. I think you have
allergies. I want to pray for someone with allergies and also like issues with digestion.
John feels like he's got a word from the Lord to pray for someone who's suffering particularly with allergies. Maybe you got some bad allergies. Maybe it's manifesting on your skin and also some digestive issues. That's John. So see that tall guy. All right. Well, the way this typically works is that because you minister to so many things that are not, you can't tell if they worked. So we get stories filtering back in the subsequent weeks. For those of you who received a little bit of healing, but it didn't go all the way, like sometimes it happens on the journey, as it did with the blind guy whom Jesus sent to the pool of Siloam. Somewhere in the process, the healing just grows and grows and grows, and that's very typical. And then for those of us who got those quick healings that were reported, that's really cool as well. Praise God. And make sure that you give testimony to him when you can. Testimony about him when you can. No good ministry time ever feels perfect and smooth. And Jesus modeled that with mud and spit. So thank you for being people of mud and spit this morning. So turn to the people around you and just spit on them. That's a bridge too far. We have another service coming in here in a second. If the Lord is on you and you haven't received a complete healing yet, you're certainly welcome to hang out and join us for the next service as well. It's going to be more or less identical to this one, and we're going to do another ministry time. So you can just soak in the Spirit all day if you want to. Father God, I thank you that we've all been changed at least a little bit as we gather in the name of Christ this morning. We thank you for the privilege of being your people in the kingdom of heaven on earth. We pray, as you yourself taught us to pray, that your kingdom would come, that your kingdom would grow like a mustard seed expanding to take over the whole garden, that the small works that we did here this morning would become greater and greater and would themselves spawn further works in the world. We pray that we would be salt and light and ministers and testifiers. God bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.